General Assembly in South Carolina finds that casino gaming is not consistent with nor compatible with the economic, labor, or tourism industry profile for most communities in South Carolina. We'll tell you which communities they believe could benefit from having a casino in their backyard today on the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Welcome in. It's the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. This one, the Palmetto Family Matters Show. Justin Hall, Steve Pettit, Randy Page here with you on a Wednesday, March 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. A lot to get into today. But if you're interested in some history, I'll drop a nugget for you. Today, March 26th, in the year 1776, the state of South Carolina declared their independence and set up an independent government from that of Great Britain. And we elected our first president. Would either of you two wager a guess as to who the first president of the state of South Carolina was?
It was not Strom Thurmond.
It was not Strom Thurmond. He was the second one.
Okay.
He was close. he was extremely close. John Rutledge.
John Rutledge, okay.
John Rutledge. And how about this one? The state Supreme Court Chief Justice, William Henry Drayton, said that this Declaration of Independence was okay and good to go because the king had abdicated his governing authority over the state. South Carolina has been independent since March 26, 1776, and we have reiterated that several times. And we are free to create legislation such as this. We're going to start with gambling today. And the reason why we're starting with gambling, because there are two different bills that are starting to gain some momentum and some headwind, or not meeting any headwinds yet in the House and in the Senate. Let's start with the House bill. And Randy, I'm going to bring you in. You're in the State House far more than any of us. House Bill 4176. This is a bill, a summary is a gaming commission. And I read the open of the show was from the basically the legislative findings on this bill. The General Assembly finds that casino gaming is not consistent with nor compatible with the economic, labor, or tourism industry profile for most communities in South Carolina. Now, the key word there
is most.
Is most, because the next line says, however, it's almost like when I'm in church and my pastor says, whenever you see a therefore, you ask what the therefore is there for. Yes. When you see the however, you know they're about to just completely fill in the gaps here. The General Assembly recognizes and further finds that certain counties along I-95 represent rural and impoverished school districts. Well, what does that have to do with casino gaming? Well, the General Assembly finds that casino gaming in these counties is consistent and compatible with economic, labor, and tourism profiles, and that revenue, job creation, and economic improvement from such gaming would substantially enhance the educational opportunities of children living in those areas. Randy, I'm going to ask a simple question. Are we playing the slots inside the schools, or what's going on?
That's what it sounds like to me. But, you know, obvious the first sentence of what they said, if you'd have left the word most out of, it's absolutely true. I mean, it's incompatible
for
communities in South Carolina. I mean, we don't want to become Atlantic City South. We don't want to see, you know, families ripped apart. We don't want to see, you know, crime increased. We don't want to see increased human trafficking. We don't want to see, you know, increased political corruption. It hurts the people in the area the most, and these are the people who need it the least, because it's predatory. I mean, literally, these people cannot afford to gamble, and they're putting it right there and ripping their community apart limb by limb. It's horrible. It's horrible policy for South Carolina, and I hope that the House rejects it soundly.
Steve, as someone who travels frequently, I love the beaches in Georgia. But when you go down to the beaches in Georgia, you drive down 95. Or if you're going to Florida like I did a couple weeks ago, you will drive down 95. We've all made this trek. And I know the exact area of 95 they're talking about in this bill. You can see it from the interstate. But to formulate and to posit this position as, well, we're going to establish casino gaming, and that's going to help kids get a better education. That really, to me, seems like we're really trying to, I don't want to say pull the wool over eyes, because I don't want to accuse people of lying, but it's really trying to put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah, we say it's putting a square peg in a round hole. It just doesn't fit. Mm-hmm. I think a couple of key things right here that really needs to be stated publicly. And I don't mind stating this publicly, and I'm calling out the Republican Party on this one. Because the Republican Party has a state platform mm-hmm. of what they stand for. It's written in good black ink.
Correct.
And it says this, that gambling is not an acceptable platform. And I would like to read this so that everybody can hear it. We believe government should not capitalize on the foolish risks of its citizens. Therefore, we oppose highly addictive state-owned private and unregulated gambling, including internet and offshore gambling, casinos, and gambling technologies yet to be developed. So this is something that not one person in the Republican Party should vote for or be a part of, regardless of your caucus, because you're a Republican. So I think that just needs to be called out, period. And we're not even dealing, what we're dealing here with is character, because you're not what you say you're going to do. Your character is manifested in what you are going to do. So I think this is a very important issue that needs to be brought to the table. I think the second thing is that it's not rocket science to know that everywhere that gambling goes, it's the spinoff of all kinds of sins that go with it. And whenever you have an industry that is basically a vice-based industry, of which gambling is, because gambling feeds on the fallen and sinful nature of man, the 10th commandment, which is thou shalt not covet or to want something that you can't get. It's a desire that can become addictive. Not everybody that gambles become addicts, but it's an addictive behavior because it's mm-hmm. a part of the fallen sinful nature of man. So again, you can't get vice out of you can't get virtue out of vice. You can't get good out of evil.
Right.
And so money is neutral. Mm-hmm. Actually, a dollar bill is neutral. And the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if it's being driven by the love of money, then it should not be a part of good government.
So what we end up having here is a bill that is in committee. This bill, I'm not going to read the list of sponsors on it that I printed out this morning. I can just tell you I counted quickly five Republicans that are co-sponsoring this bill. Two of them are pretty powerful Republicans in the House, if you want my opinion. It's in the Ways and Means Committee as of publication this morning. The key thing here is this is going to establish a casino down I-95, Orangeburg County proper, well, maybe a little bit further south. These are areas that are, in fact, economically and educationally underserved is the word we typically would use here. They aren't great situations. Now, in my opinion, the move of education back to a more state-centered approach would actually help these schools. Having casinos down the road from the school in no way will help Johnny or Jane read at a higher grade level. It just doesn't happen. And again, as Steve, as you mentioned, not everyone who gambles is an addict. Addictive behavior, you can act in addictive behavior and not be addicted to the behavior, if that makes sense. Not everyone who goes to a casino at this point, you have to drive up to Cherokee or wherever. Not everyone who does that is a gambling addict, and we all understand that, but it does give way to, it opens the door around this for some serious issues.
I think, you know, facts are facts. Mm-hmm. That the percentage of addicts in betting is more on sports online betting.
Correct.
Actually, in casinos, is somewhere between 7% on the casinos and somewhere around it's either 10 or 20% on the online betting.
Right.
The point is that the casino creates an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Everything creates an atmosphere. So the question is, what kind of atmosphere is it going to create? And South Carolina is a little state. Everybody, it's not like Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like building a casino in El Paso and you live in Dallas.
Right.
It doesn't really affect you. In South Carolina, it affects everybody.
Yeah, I would be, I mean, at most, depending on traffic, because I have to get to the 95 interchange from 26. That's already an hour drive for me. Yes. An hour drive is not very long. You're just putting it out there. Maybe with a one-year-old in the car, but certainly any other time, it's just not a very long drive. You mentioned sports gambling, and I'm glad you did. Senate Bill 444. And Senate Bill 444 could be considered a five-alarm fire. This is the South Carolina Sports Wagering Act. I can tell you that this bill has been put forward by Senator Tom Davis of the Lowcountry, Beaufort. This bill, I'm reading it, provides that the operation of sports wagering and ancillary activities are lawful in certain circumstances to create the South Carolina Sports Wagering Commission to provide a privilege tax that would then be a portion of that into the general fund. I'll get there in a second. To provide for licenses and to provide for persons who are ineligible to engage in wagering in this state. And it provides that the commission shall promulgate regulations. Sports betting is not legal in South Carolina. And it is still March. A lot of people are bemoaning that this month because of March Madness, because of the NCAA tournament. Well, the state of Georgia is benefiting from it, and the state of Florida is benefiting, whomever. South Carolina is missing out on a lot of money. There are people who would say, well, as a Republican, I believe you should be able to do whatever you want with your money. I can agree with you to an extent, but at some point, the state should not be giving the green light to what can only be described as, extrapolated to its end, destructive behavior. And in this case, Randy, I've read the bill. I mean, it's a long one. It's a Tom Davis special.
Yes, it is.
23 pages. He is a master tactician, and he writes legislation well. The only problem I have in here, Randy, I just got to ask the question. I like to bring this up. It generates revenue.
Yeah, which is interesting considering it's a Senate bill.
You can't a bill that generates revenue has to originate in the House.
Yes,
we ran into this with medical marijuana 2 years ago.
Right.
And that was the defeat of the bill. It's not constitutional because it didn't originate in the House.
And it's, you know, interesting as we, you know, talk about, you know, sports betting and, you know, at the start of March Madness, you know, the Post and Courier did an article about, you know, how South Carolina was missing out and, you know, frankly, you know, only talked about, you know, that and gave just really scant coverage to the rough side of gambling.
Sure.
But, you know, it was interesting that I think it hit the newsstands the day that, you know, Clemson basketball was supposed to go pretty far.
Not in my bracket.
Well, not in your bracket, but, I mean, a lot of people in the upstate.
Sure.
And so my gut is a lot of Clemson fans lost a lot of money betting illegally that day.
Sure.
And
well, you can bet here.
That's
just
right.
Illegal.
And, you know, obviously, I mean, we know people are doing it. You know, we're not naive. But it's just very disconcerting. Again,
yeah.
I think that it's very predatory. You know, it's available for every person on their computer,
right,
on their phone. And then it really targets, particularly sports betting, young boys and young men. They're interested in sports. They get that thrill, that adrenaline rush, and then they start spending money, and then they keep giving them little credits.
Sure.
And then at the end of the day, they go, whoa.
Well, as someone who I enjoy watching baseball, Major League Baseball opening day is tomorrow at the time of this recording, Thursday. The Braves play in San Diego at 4:10. You best believe I'll be at least listening to it. I can watch baseball all day long and not have a problem with it. I can watch any team play because I love baseball. I used to work in it. I called games. I love baseball. The only thing that some people hook to is that, oh, well, I can bet Shohei Ohtani over under 2 RBI tomorrow night against whoever they're playing. Now that's going to draw me in to watch the game. Now I have a rooting interest in this game that I would not normally have. And the leagues are promoting it now. I mean, Major League Baseball didn't allow Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame because of the gambling stuff, and now they're actively having gaming and gambling sponsor the sport. Yes. The NFL does the same thing. The NBA does the same thing. You've got over-unders and betting lines on college football games. Y'all, I'm just going to let you know, there's a website that provides gaming odds for high school football in this state. Like, lines. Like, Hillcrest is a 5-point favorite. Why would I care about how much they're favored by in a high school game other than I'm putting money on it? It is a serious problem in this state, and it would only worsen if we... if we legalize it, it doesn't naturally make it better. I want to get to two things here before we get to a quick legislative update. The first is an event by our friends at Palmetto Promise. They are hosting EdChoice's star researchers and authors of the Friedman Index for an interactive webinar on Friday, March the 28th, that's this coming Friday, from 2 to 3, to discuss their findings and answer questions about how South Carolina can further embrace education freedom. Ben Scafidi, Kennesaw State University Director of the Education Economics Center, Colin Ritter will also be speaking the 2025 EdChoice Friedman Index webinar hosted by Palmetto Promise. That is an interactive webinar on Friday, March the 28th from 2 to 3 p.m. We have a link to that. You can register to attend that webinar. Look for that in the show notes. And then we'll be having a great time in April for the North Greenville Christian Worldview Week. They're hosting a whole big event that week to talk about the Christian worldview. Here's just a little bit of it. Beyond the sacred and secular divide, Christian leadership for every vocational sphere of influence, and redeeming justice, reclaiming God's vision for doing good. We'll also hear inside and outside intentional formation for your life in the world and created to create, why the work of your hands matters to God. So again, that is the Christian Worldview Week at North Greenville University. We'll have the link available for that one as well in our show notes. So two exciting opportunities coming up for you. A webinar, and then if you want to make the drive up to Tigerville, which I have done, North Greenville is a tight-knit little campus tucked right back there in Tigerville. The only time I would ever drive to some place named Tigerville, but it was a fun time when I got to go up to North Greenville. The Crusaders now have changed their name, and I'm blanking. Trailblazers. That's right. I old habits die hard. I still call Newberry the Indians. All right, legislative update. Got a couple of them here for you, and we'll have the worldview implications surrounding them as well. House Bill 3924 was introduced by Representative Chris Wooten of my district or of my county, Lexington County. He's a different district. This bill, Randy, basically just regulates this new industry that is selling hemp-derived consumables. Right. If you drive past a vape shop or if you go past one of these places, they have these soda cans.
Right.
And it's hemp-derived sodas. I mean, we're fighting against medical marijuana. But you've got literal drinks that have Delta 8 and Delta 10 in them. I mean, Delta 8 is not exactly a non-hallucinogenic. And so as we're looking through this, we're trying to regulate an industry here that I believe is important for our state to begin to regulate before it spins out of control. This marketing, we talked about gambling being marketed to young men. This is another prime example, right, of a product being marketed as, well, it's not marijuana, but it does have some hallucinogenic properties that could be a problem.
Yeah, I think, again, it goes back to, is it for medicinal purposes or is it going to be for hallucinogenic, getting high or getting a buzz?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the end result of that? And I think it comes back to what we said before. Medical marijuana is not approved by the FDA. A doctor can't prescribe it. It cannot be dispensed by a pharmacy. So therefore, until they come up with really clear regulations, then we would oppose it completely. And mm-hmm. Of course, anything that would have to do with any kind of form of getting a high or a buzz would be problematic from a scriptural standpoint. So we would oppose all of that.
And this bill, by the way, is in committee, and I believe, I haven't seen an update here, but I believe it should be hitting the floor, being read across the desk. Yeah, it was approved by the favorable report out of Judiciary Committee yesterday. One final thing here, Randy, we'll talk about this really quick. S-32, since we're talking about money, it's talking about generating revenue. This is not generating revenue. This is offering a tax credit. Senator Grooms has one. The Pregnancy Resource Act basically says that if you, any taxpayer, makes a voluntary contribution to a pregnancy care center in their area, you can get a tax credit. And I think this does a good job of highlighting pregnancy centers. Folks might not know a pregnancy center in their area. A good chance for you to look up one, and hey, you get a tax credit. Woohoo! You get some money back. To this point, there aren't any other life bills really up for conversation in South Carolina right now. After what happened a couple of weeks ago, this is really the only one as it stands right now. Could this provide a way to sort of, because it's in the Senate, do we get an opportunity to get a little bit of an idea of where the appetite is for these senators, especially this new-look Senate, when it comes to the issue of life?
I think it gives us a decent window into, you know, what's going on with the Senate. You know, I was pleased yesterday to see that Senator Clymer out of York County added his name as a co-sponsor to the bill. So you've got, you know, Senator Grooms sponsoring and co-sponsored by Senators Lieber, Rice, Reichenbach, and now Clymer. You know, and the good thing, too, is it is a tax credit, which is much nicer than a tax deduction.
Yes.
And it's also broader than just pregnancy care centers. So it would actually even help adoption and foster care agencies. So it really is. While it is a tax credit, it's something that is pushing a pro-life culture in South Carolina. And so it's something that we're watching, something we supported, that we submitted testimony for, and we're very pleased that it came out of Senate Finance yesterday with a unanimous vote. So that was good.
And one would believe it should fly through the Senate. Now, let's talk about the life issue just really quickly, because that's, again, I'm not naive. A lot of you listen to this program because of our position on life, and so we should talk about it. Don't want to talk about gambling all day. You're talking about the issue of life. Where are we? That's a very broad question.
It's a very broad question. I mean, I think it's a you know, when you look at, you know, from a bill perspective, you know, HLPA did have a hearing at the beginning of March. No action was taken. You know, it was a lot of testimony, mainly from, you know, pro-abortion testifiers that day. There was a, you know, pro-life doctor at the very end that did a very good job, and then Representative McCravey was able to give a quick thing right at the very end as well. You know, from reading through the lines and reading the lines that were distributed that day from the House caucus, made it pretty clear that the House was waiting on the Senate to do something. And so, you know, I think, you know, for those of us who want to see something done on life, who understand the necessity that something needs to be done on life, that we need to protect unborn children, that we need to help mothers, that, you know, looking at something that would do that and making sure that there is a vehicle in the Senate should be something that, you know, we would want to do. Because obviously, you know, whether it was in the primary or in the general last year, you know, there were three pro-abortion sister senators who lost their elections. And then you also saw, in addition to that, that there were four formerly Democrat-held seats that were, you know, conservative Republicans that took those seats. So it is a new day in the Senate. And, you know, my hope is that the Senate loses the moniker of being the place where all good bills go to die.
Right.
And so, you know, really hoping that that's something that, you know, we can do. And I would encourage, you know, listeners, you know, we have, you know, the opportunity to take action through voter voice and, you know, to contact your elected representatives. I think we've got a number of things up on voter voice right now, including life and including gambling, to where you can literally go in, put your name and address, and it sends an email to your senator and to your state house member. And so just a great way to stay in contact with them, because obviously they're hearing from the other side.
Right.
I mean, just on the casino bill, there are 13, count them, 13 paid lobbyists who are being paid to lobby to pass the casino bill. So it is very important for people to contact their representatives, contact their senators, and let them know what they think and what they believe, because it's because they're obviously hearing from the other side, and hearing from the other side in a big way.
Exactly. They are. And you can go to Palmetto Family Alliance, or Palmetto Alliance. Let me get that right. PalmettoAlliance.org. Click on Take Action. You've got casinos and sports betting. You got life. You got protecting spaces for women and girls, keeping children safe online. I got a number of different opportunities there for you that you can get involved in. You know, the packed show for us. We didn't even get to... I haven't even gotten to the governor of Illinois saying his mother took him to pride parades when he was younger and introducing him to the gay agenda as a child, or the representative from Texas calling Governor Greg Abbott, quote, Hot Wheels,
yes,
end quote.
Oh, boy. Yes.
I there's a lot I could still get into. We don't have time for it today.
No, we don't.
We don't. We're fully loaded, and that's right. Okay. So we'll make sure to cover some of these, because I'm telling you, we're in the session right now, so a lot of it is South Carolina-based stuff, but I'm telling you, it's only getting wilder. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and put this out in the ether. You take it for what it's worth. Everyone's wondering the vacuum of leadership in the Democratic Party. Where does it stand after Donald Trump wins 7 swing states and a majority, and he's got a mandate and popular vote, and who's the candidate in 2028 for the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
Because in the Republican Party, it's you got a couple people to choose from. J.D. Vance probably tops the list because he's a sitting vice president. Da, 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 da. Let me go ahead and tell you. 2028. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I'm telling you. Yeah. Mark it down.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Oh, maybe you know, Cortez-Sanders ticket too.
Yeah, he's positioning himself, isn't he?
He's really
positioning himself, fighting the oligarchy. We don't have an oligarchy here. We need to look up the definition of oligarchy. We do not have one here. They're positioning themselves for an economic downturn. If an economic downturn happens, the Trump administration's in trouble at that point.
Absolutely.
And the country is then in imminent danger, in my opinion, economically, because you're just socialism at its core swoops in at that point. We're already kind of there. But I'm telling you, those two are in lockstep with one another. I would argue Jasmine Crockett's trying to position herself as the new leader of the she's trying to be the new fresh face, so face. I don't know if that's going to happen. Gavin Newsom's trying to play the moderate card. I'm telling you, the moderate card is not going to win in that primary. Right. It's going to be the person more to the left. And so you're hearing it here first. By the way, if you go back to about March of 2024, on this show, yours truly said that Joe Biden would not be the nominee. So I'm not saying I'm a prophet. Not at all. I might be able to read some tea leaves here. And I think
I remember that in my Signal chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know what Signal chat you're talking about. There was no Signal chat, but there was a Signal chat and nothing was discussed. There was a Signal chat and nothing classified was discussed. We don't know that a Signal chat even exists. What is Signal? I don't want to get into that today because, well, I just don't have the time or the energy to even deal with that. If you want to learn more about Palmetto Family, palmettofamily.org. You can go there. You can learn more about us. You can subscribe to our email newsletter. Go to palmettoalliance.org. Take action today with your legislators. Let them know where you stand on these issues and let them know what your position is. We have created the conduit for you to make it super easy for you to connect with your legislators. Follow us on social media, Twitter at Palmetto Family. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram by the same name. YouTube, whatever. We're not on TikTok, but we're on a lot of other stuff. LinkedIn, wherever you want to find us. That's cool. Make sure you follow us there. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us that 5-star rating and review. That helps us out in the long run, helps you out as well. Make sure your friends and family know that we're here and that we're doing this show. And we look forward to chatting with you next week as we hit the month of April and we begin to get to the final stretch run of the 2025 legislative session in the state of South Carolina. For Dr. Steve Pettit, Randy Page, I'm Justin Hall. Thanks so much for listening to the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina. It's this one, the Palmetto Family Matters Show.